For those of you who are fans of entrepreneurship and have not heard of the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center in Providence, Rhode Island, then you really aren't into entrepreneurship, because I'm sitting with two of the founders, Jay and Dan Murphy of the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center. Welcome, guys.
Welcome, Jeffrey.
Good morning.
Morning. Great place. Thanks for hosting Radio Entrepreneurs, Providence, Rhode Island style. I expect my pizza from El Forno to arrive any minute. I just told Jay this morning, that's where I took my wife on our first date and where I asked her to marry me. So our next guest is, let's see if I can get this right, Nick Scapatizzi.
You did it better before.
I did it better before. Scapatizzi.
Scapatizzi.
Scapatizzi, sorry. Of TelArt, and I apologize, I do have my limitations. Tell us, not about your name, because I couldn't say it again. Yeah. Tell us about TelArt.
Okay. We are an experience design company, and really what that means is we're 21st century designers. We're making meaningful things and hopefully improving people's lives. And our work is with product innovation. We do work with experiential marketing, and we do work with cultural institutions. We're doing designing objects. We're creating spaces to kind of transform people's understanding through a kind of storytelling and a content-rich environment.
A great story, maybe a little above my head to start with. Who hires you, and what do they hire you exactly to do? So let's make it a little more concrete for our listeners who are like me.
We work with a variety of institutions. I mean, we're working with new and emerging technologies. And, you know, nowadays we hear things like AI and machine learning. But go back 20 years ago when we started, we were talking about the web. The internet as a place where people could kind of advertise and showcase their ideas. And in that world, we were working with colleges and institutions and helping them to kind of communicate their vision and their messaging to new students. Now, using a technology that was intangible, that was this, you know, immaterialness of the web that existed. And, you know, craftsmen in the 19th century were both the technicians and the craftsmen. They understood the tools and the materials. They inherently kind of knew how to move material and bring it together into meaningful objects. Now advance into the Industrial Revolution, where there was a technician involved, you know, and there someone had to technically know the machines, and they had to work in between the designer and the kind of production artist to actually create objects. And nowadays, we have to build entire communities around projects. We have, you know, we have programming, we have video, we have graphics. All of these things have to come together, and every single one is a specialty. And our team is this multidisciplinary team that brings together all of those disciplines and creates experiences that are kind of agnostic of a phone or the kind of the touch point in which you might experience it. It's an entire ecosystem of things that come together to help brands communicate who they are and the value of the service or the value of the content that they're providing. So museums, we're talking about, you know, creating exhibitions. We're working with Fortune 500 manufacturers of products, helping them create new product ideas, future horizons for their product lines. And we're working with marketers who are trying to tell a new brand story and creating immersive environments that, you know, bring people closer to that message and help to engage them and move them viscerally around maybe an interactive experience or some sort of other type of campaign.
Interesting. So how did you get started in this business?
Well, I'm one of the founders. The other founder, Matt Cottom, we went to RISD. We graduated here and set up our business here in Providence, Rhode Island. And, you know, I think we were fascinated by technology in that it was an opportunity for a new kind of material in our work. You know, we were in the shop, we were learning wood, we understood metal, we understood, you know, foam and creating objects, but technology was a new material source that we wanted to integrate into the work we were doing. And so we were looking kind of and trying to pioneer taking digital experiences beyond the screen and bringing them into objects and bringing them into spaces. And while there wasn't a business around that kind of work at the time, you know, the things like the iPhone didn't exist. People didn't understand the power of the internet until something like the iPhone came out, we were working in the classroom, we were working with our clients, trying to figure out how do you bring this new technology into your products? How do we start to play with it? How do we start to manipulate it in a way that's quick and iterative, and so that we understand its boundaries and understand its constraints? You know, wood has grain, but you know, AI and machine learning, they also have boundaries. We just have to pull them apart. We have to crack open the box and actually play with it and find out how it's systematized and find out what the algorithms are that drive it and find out what it can and can't do. And if we can understand that material effectively, we can create better products and we can create better experiences for people and create, you know, honestly, just create better connections between humans.
Interesting. So how did you meet your partner?
We were students together. We actually met in a class that was a production of a play, and it was a group of RISD students, all from different disciplines. You know, you had painters, you had sculptors, you had industrial designers, filmmakers, and the point of the class was to put on a full-on play production. And I think Matt and I were in this same class together, and I think we found an appreciation for the same kinds of things. We, after that, had a studio space while we were still at RISD, and in that studio space, which is where we were doing our schoolwork, we had another set of different kinds of disciplines involved in that. There were furniture makers in that studio, there were graphic designers, and I think we kind of have always lived and worked in this environment together where we had lots of different specialties around us and collaborated with them. And I think that was some of the seeds for what started, you know, the business, which was in 2000, right out of school.
Right. And how do you make your money? And how do you bill?
You know, just elbow grease and, you know, nose to the grindstone. We are typically hired in a couple different ways. I mean, they're much like every design firm out there, you know, we're responding to RFPs. You know, a museum has a new exhibition they want to design. A corporation is looking to figure out how to bring innovation into their pipeline. We're talking a lot to the world about our discipline. We're going to conferences and speaking about some of the work that we're doing. And some of the ideas we have about, you know, the future and how design can help to better mediate, help to better kind of collaborate, and help to kind of bring people together. So a lot of our work comes to us through that thinking, people are kind of appreciating our perspective. We're doing more traditional things like responding to RFPs, and we have been doing it for 18 years now, so we have a network of kind of past clients and other people who we continue to work with to this day.
And what are some of the biggest obstacles you're facing in the next year? Challenges?
That's a good question. I mean, we are, you know, we're kind of in an interesting time where, you know, we feel like design can really have a voice in a lot of today's hardest challenges, things like climate change, politics, you know, education. And I think that having design as a voice inside of some of those conversations can really help to maybe mediate a little bit of what's going on. You know, we are communication, you know, we communicate, we create visual maps, we kind of design process. And I think, you know, much like architects and, you know, graphic designers and all the disciplines in design, I'm just putting it all in one bucket. I think we have an ability to kind of help in the conversations, to advance some of these conversations with the way in which we think about systems and think about, you know, process. And some of the hardest challenges are, you know, working with some of these new and emerging technologies that people haven't quite gotten their head around, and how do we adopt them appropriately into our world? You know, we see things like autonomous cars, and, you know, just the other day we see a fatality that happened, and there's a big question now of what do we do? What do we do with this technology? You know, it was always going to be the case where one death was going to raise the question, and so now what do we do? And it's not a problem that's going to be solely solved by an engineer or, you know, an executive. I think we have to come together and bring all the disciplines together and discuss and create a process that's mediated, and I think, like I said, I think design can help in those conversations.
So, Nick, if somebody wants to find TellArt, how would they do that?
You can go to our website. It's tellart.com, T-E-L-L-A-R-T. We are on Twitter at TellArt. And you can get in touch with me. My name is Nick, and it's just nick@tellart.com.
Great. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. Great. And I want to thank our hosts again, Dan and Jay Murphy, the founders of Hatch. Dan, do you want to tell people how to find Hatch? Because it seems like entrepreneurs like to be on the show.
Sure.
And they like to listen to the show, and we want more people to connect with us.
Yeah, on the web at www.hatchri.com, on Facebook, Hatch Entrepreneurial Center, or on Twitter or Instagram at HatchRI. Thank you.
Great.
Great.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs, Hatch Providence style.